And it's Wednesday, April 30th, and that means we're grading trades, finishing up the month of April. What's up, Scott, now?
Well, what's up?
You caught us off guard with that open-ended question.
Oh, sorry about that. We only do it every day, and I never know how to answer it ever.
Well, what's going on? What's on your
mind?
I guess.
I'm just enjoying the after effects of a power bagel with peanut butter.
Oh, pre-breakfast day, the best day.
Yes.
Love that breakfast. Peanut butter on a bagel, huh?
Well, it's not really a bagel. It's kind of like a bowl of raisins.
That's cool. All right, are you sick?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry.
I hope you're not sitting in the middle on the set today. Put it that way.
Speaking of raisins, were you hoping we'd bring up your...
No, I'm trying to put an end to this because I feel like I'm talking about it too much. But the candy draft results are available. I'm really not happy. I got a D from one of the judges for no good reason. She thought I took Raisinets in the first round. I took them in the fourth round. And the rest of my team is so good. And I finished second in the candy draft. But you go to the website, the results are there. I don't want to talk about it, Scott. Sore subject.
Clearly.
I am going to go eat some Raisinets this weekend. Right in Jenna's face. And show her just how good they are. All right. No, Jenna's cool. I like her. Okay, so we're doing Grade the Trade. Talk about Verlander. I want to ask you about Goldschmidt. Jonathan Neese had a good start. He's only 66% owned. Martin Perez, Alex Wood, they struggled. Talk about some guys that could find their way into rotations at some point, like Bauer and Stroman and Duffy, maybe. I will see what you guys think about some of these selections. Let's start with an email, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And by the way, watch Fantasy Baseball Today, the live show later this afternoon, noon Eastern time. Joseph Heller in Minneapolis insists he is not the author of Catch-22. And he also wants to know, would you drop Homer Bailey for Trevor Bauer?
Did you know Joseph Heller was the author of Catch-22?
I even Googled it just to make sure.
And I saw the email, and that's right where I went.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you know, Scott?
Yeah, I knew.
Are you a book guy?
No, not really, but I'm married to a librarian.
Oh.
And
that helps.
I went to school. There's certain things you read in school.
I never read.
And are tested on.
I never read that book. Did you?
Yes, and I went to school too.
Yeah, I did too. For almost my whole life.
I'm saying the first question was, have I read the book?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no, I have not.
No. Would you drop Homer Bailey for Trevor Bauer?
No. That's that line is much lower than Bailey in my rankings. I moved Bauer up to 75th. And my starting pitcher rankings, which means he should probably be owned in all leagues. But that's more the Tyler Skaggs, Matt Garza, who else is around there? Jason Vargas area than Homer Bailey.
You know, though, like if Bailey just doesn't get right and you miss the opportunity to get Trevor Bauer, you know what that is?
What?
It's a catch-22.
Nice.
But I agree with Scott.
All right, email of the day number two is from John in Milwaukee. He says, dear Bradley, Appel, and Gossman, when do you see Marcus Stroman ending up at the end of the year? I guess he meant to say, where do you see Marcus Stroman ending up at the year? Top 50 potential or more of a top 150?
Whoa. Those are some extremes there.
Yeah.
How seriously. About somewhere in the middle? around 100th, I think. Maybe, actually, I'll go in the top 100.
All right, but not top 50.
No.
Yeah, and that's why I haven't been so quick to pick him up. By the way, wasn't it Dustin McGowan whose spot they were talking about him taking? There's not another opening, is there?
Well,
he pitched fairly well last night.
Right.
Might be good, a little
good. Brandon
good enough
out.
Start for him to keep his job.
Get that Morrow guy out of there.
I don't see that happening.
I know that they will. Okay. Email of the day number three is from Michael R. from Charlotte. He says, dear Reese's, Snickers, and Raisinets.
Reese's?
Yeah, Reese's.
There
Reese's,
we go.
Okay. Snickers, and Raisinets.
I don't like when people pronounce it like Reese's.
You know what? I don't like it either. I can't believe I just did that.
Reminiscent
no, but people
of,
do it.
People do it because they're crazy, Al. Truly crazy. With Kipnis likely headed to the DL, who are some good second base options on the waiver wire for my 12-team Roto League? So, yeah, Kipnis side injury yesterday, abdominal strain, they're calling it. DL could be in the cards for Jason Kipnis. So he wants us to rank Simeon, Infante, and Neil Walker.
Yeah, and those are probably your best options. I will go Walker, Simeon, Infante.
I guess since it's like a short-term thing, I probably would too. But Infante has a lot more job security than Simeon if it's something, if that's a consideration for you.
What about Solarte if he's out there? How would you rank them?
At the bottom. After Infante
for
me.
Yeah.
Okay. So Wednesday's standouts, before we get into the notes and the trades, and I actually have a lot to talk about today. What do you guys want to highlight from yesterday?
Well, I know it's coming up on your notes, but Justin Verlander, I think he just gave us a good buy low opportunity.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because he hasn't, you know, certainly statistically hasn't looked like himself this season. And you've got it noted here, 31 strikeouts, 15 walks, and 40 innings. That's a pretty mediocre ratio. But velocity is pretty much where it was a year ago now.
Which, when it was bad, when people were worried about it.
And then when he got better afterwards. So.
Yeah, okay.
He has plenty of velocity. He still throws 95 miles per hour consistently.
Well,
he used to throw 98 consistently.
I know, but it's not like he's down at 92. He's still a hard thrower.
Right,
in a freezing cold April.
When you get used to doing, to performing at a certain velocity, I mean, any loss, even if it's still high, it's going to make an impact in the numbers, and it has. Now, has it impacted the numbers enough that he's a scrub? No, clearly not. I mean, he's still awesome, but it's just, like Al was saying, I think, people who own him are probably underwhelmed by what he's delivered so far.
Yeah.
And I could get behind him as a buy low to an extent. I do think I'm lowering him in my rankings a little when I go look at that again. But it's not like outside the top 12. It's like from 5th to 9th or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So still a top 12 guy for you, obviously.
Yeah. No, I'm not even sure I'm moving him at this point. I need to see.
You have him 3rd.
Yeah.
I think you got to go Scherzer over him, no?
I don't think so. Not yet. Because the only thing in terms of, I mean, that strikeout to walk ratio is bad. And the strike-to-ball ratio isn't quite where it's been, but kind of like you said about the velocity, there's really nothing wrong with it. It's at 64%. So his command is fine. So I just think that, this is just a rough patch.
The strike percentage is 64%.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I was confused by that, too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What else? Scott, anything to volunteer?
There's a lot of things that happened, Adam. Let's go with Jonathan Neese, or as he seems to be showing up on all the search pages now, John Neese. I don't know if there's been a change, but
he'll always be Jonathan to me.
He got tired of people probably misspelling his first name.
Because it's Jonathan instead of Jonathan.
Right.
But anyway, he's been really, really good. Better than I've been able to reflect in my rankings so far, but maybe that needs to change. Obviously, his start yesterday was a real eye-opener for some people, but it's been going on for a while now. His last 15 starts dating back to last season when he was returning from a torn rotator cuff, I think is worth reminding people. 2.74 ERA, 1.18 whip, 7.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. And remember, before he had these rotator cuff issues last year, going into last year, I know he was in my top 40 coming into the season based on what he did in 2012. And he seems like he's gotten back to that, but people haven't noticed. And I don't feel like enough pitchers have lapped him that we really should downgrade Neese to the extent we have.
Strikeouts aren't quite there, though. And they weren't really there last year, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's never going to be a strikeout per inning type, but seven plus per nine, I wouldn't call a non-strikeout pitcher. I'd call that an average strikeout pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, 66%. I'll compare him to some guys in his ownership rate. You've got Wade Miley.
Clearly better
than Miley.
You got
to take him.
Yeah.
Henry Mejia.
Yeah, I'd take him over Mejia for sure.
Al?
Agreed.
Ian Kennedy?
Yes. Over
Neeser,
Kennedy.
Kennedy. I'd take Neese over Kennedy.
Neeser Hamill.
Neese.
Yeah, Neese again.
Neeser Straley.
I know I have Straley ahead now, but I think it might be time to move Neese ahead of him.
I'm pretty sure I got Straley ahead. That's what my gut is telling me.
Neese or Lincecum?
Neese.
Yeah. All those guys are owned in more leagues than Jonathan Neese. So Try to get on that. Al did it last week before I got the chance in a couple of our leagues. So screw you, Al Melchior. Paul Goldschmidt, guys, last 23 games, he's batting .289. He has one steal, seven doubles, two home runs. He's been fine. Two steals so far this year. You know, he stole 18 in 2012, 15 last season. So he'll probably lead first baseman, right, in steals. But it's not like he's a huge steals guy, whatever. But are you concerned with his team being so bad that it might have an effect on him? First of all, he has very little lineup protection, especially with Trumbo out. Miguel Montero batting cleanup. And they're just a horror story right now. So it may be in a Giancarlo Stanton way from last year.
I feel like it's not really the same. I understand what you're saying about the Diamondbacks lineup. I don't think it's on the level of the Marlins lineup last year.
And I think it's underachieved to a large degree. Look at some of the individual pieces. Martin Prado hasn't done anything yet. Aaron Hill hasn't really done anything yet. It's the same. It's the same lineup they had last year. I'm trying to make sure I'm right about this. It's the same lineup as last year. Just Mark Trumbo's. I know he's not in it right now, but when everybody's healthy, Mark Trumbo's in it now. So it's actually, you could say it's improved over last year. And obviously, nobody's complaining about what Goldschmidt did last year.
Okay, so no concerns at all. Same player?
Yeah, not at all.
How about Jared Weaver? He's got a 4 ERA. He gave up 8 hits, only 2 runs in 5 1/3. He struck out 6, has not pitched 7 innings in any start yet, and he has allowed 6 home runs and 6 starts, but 4 of them came in one game at Houston. Concerned about Jared Weaver at all?
No, and I think that home run stat is the key one to point out. And he'll be vulnerable to that, particularly on the road, but yeah, aside from that one start, it's not really been a problem for Weaver, and as long as that's not a problem, I think he's fine.
What's concerned me is the innings, and I don't know if early hooks, because he's given up home runs, have something to do with it. But
yeah, I don't really think he's given up home runs, though. It's just that one start.
Yeah, right,
he's
right.
He's had 6 starts.
Right,
so
the 4 home run start.
Right.
Yeah, so then that makes it even weirder, because I don't think he's gone 7 yet, right?
He hasn't.
And then his 6 starts, twice they've let him go 100 pitches, twice. In 6, and that's not an ace workload there. I don't really understand what's up with that. I don't know if because he's had a couple injuries over the last 2 years, maybe they're taking it easy with him. But even if that's the case, that's not going to help his fantasy value.
I'll look up a stat on Jared Weaver that I actually have for CC Sabathia. They mentioned it on the broadcast last night on the YES Network. I didn't quite remember what they said, so I went back looked up today. So Sabathia. Here's the deal with him. First 9 batters. So the first time through the order, batting average against is .224. Second time through the order, it's .234 against Sabathia. The third time through the order, opponents are hitting .347 with 3 home runs against CC Sabathia. Now, I'll look up Jared Weaver and see if there's a similar trend where he's just not pitching well in the 5th and the 6th inning.
Well, and while you're looking at that, I mean, I'm looking at his game log right now.
And that's exactly what's happening.
Is it?
Third time through the order, has a .756 batting average and a .333 batting average against. And it's .220 batting average against the first time through and .184 the second time through. So both these guys, they're either running out of steam or they're not tricking hitters anymore third time through the order through 1 month of the season.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, his last 3 starts, 6-6 and then 5 1/3. No more than 2 runs given up in any of them. So it's not like, are you sure you want the innings? That's not really typical Weaver to not be going deeper. But, he's been effective enough. And he's had a couple of starts where he's been unusually wild. So he's been inefficient most likely in those starts. But unless we see a string of those together, I'm not really worried.
Well, let me ask you a question because it always helps to put the worry in context. I mean, nobody's dropping Jared Weaver. Would you take Homer Bailey over him right now? Would you, if somebody offered you Homer Bailey for your Jared Weaver, would you
take
it?
There's no way I would do that.
No, but what if someone offered you Sonny Gray?
Yeah, and I wouldn't do that either.
How about you?
Well, I have Bailey ahead of Gray, so I was thinking I would take Bailey, but maybe not Gray.
I mean, I'll check. I'm pretty sure I've got Weaver ahead of Bailey.
All right, let me go through the news and notes real quick here. Pittsburgh and Baltimore and the Dodgers and Twins were rained out. Doubleheader tomorrow for the Dodgers and the Twins. Manny Machado should be back today. We'll see what happens with Jonathan Scope. Hopefully he'll play some second base. Jacoby Ellsbury missed yesterday's game with a hand injury. And Michael Pineda is out 3 to 4 weeks with a sore back. So Ellsbury's day-to-day, but Pineda out 3 to 4 weeks. David Phelps Looks like he'll be the replacement for now. So now they have Nuno and Phelps in that rotation. Aroldis Chapman.
How do you feel about that as a Yankees fan, Adam?
Not so good. Not so good. But I'm telling you, keep an eye on Dellin Betances. I don't know that they'd want to move him out of the bullpen. He's had major control problems. He was supposed to be a great starting pitcher prospect. They moved him to the bullpen. He's been awesome. So keep an eye on him. Aroldis Chapman could be back early next week. Mike Minor to start Friday against San Francisco.
For real this time?
For real.
All right.
No takebacks. We mentioned Jason Kipnis's injury. Hisashi Iwakuma could pitch Friday. That has not been determined yet. Yasmani Grandal started at first base with Yonder Alonso getting a break. Willian Rosario is out. He's still day-to-day with a hand injury. And Texas is 0-6 on Ron Washington's birthday. They must hate him. All right,
that's the conclusion I would draw from that. By the way, just get back to the Weaver versus Bailey thing. Kind of funny because in points leagues, you have Weaver ahead two spots.
Yeah.
I have him behind two spots.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I think I will change that when I get the chance.
I guess I will too.
So anyway, this little section here is called Future Starters with a question mark. I want to know if you guys think these pitchers can get into the rotation and stay in the rotation for their teams. And I went with the first two being a little bit more obvious since we've talked about them. Trevor Bauer and Marcus Stroman. And also, obviously, how excited would you be about them? Bauer and Stroman, I don't know if there's much more to say about the two. I think we pretty much covered that. But
yeah,
you would assume they'll... Nothing's official with Bauer yet, right?
Right.
No, we're just assuming he's the choice to replace Carrasco.
And of all the names I'm going to give, I would assume he is the best one to stash, which includes Archie Bradley, who has a strained elbow and he's going to rest for 2 weeks before he starts throwing again. By the way, I missed a few notes, so real quick, Ryan Braun, Gene Segura, Aramis Ramirez were all out yesterday. They're day-to-day, but Braun's looks the most serious. Shin-Soo Chu and Cespedes both returned as DHs, and Billy Hamilton hit his first home run. He stole his 10th base in 15 attempts. Okay. So, Jaime Garcia will begin a rehab assignment this weekend. Any interest in stashing him?
Sure. I don't see Tyler Lyons and Joe Kelly being long-term roadblocks to Garcia. They could be very weird if they put him in the bullpen. So, yeah, I would say definitely worth a stash.
There was an interview on the Fox, on the Cardinals broadcast last night. I have no idea who was on the air, but he said they are treating him like a starter because it was asked, Garcia bullpen or rotation, and the indication was he'll be back in the rotation.
How good of a stash is he? I know Al's always liked him a lot more than I have. I feel like even in his good years, he's 1.25 whip, you know, maybe 7 strikeouts per 9. And I'm coming back from a lot of injuries here, so I don't know. Maybe in like our 14-team, 30-man roster league, I'd look into him, but shallower than that, probably not.
Ahead of Stroman?
No.
Yeah, I think slightly.
Okay. David Phelps. Is he... Look, he could be in the rotation for a month now. So, is he worth adding? He has really not been good this year.
And he wasn't especially good as a starter last year either. So, yeah. I think we've seen enough.
Okay.
Yeah. The big Phelps fan is gone.
Now, Danny Duffy. Now, Bruce Chen's going to miss a start with a bulging disc in his back. I guess I have a bit of a crush on Danny Duffy.
Nice.
What do you think about him?
I'm intrigued by the potential, and he might actually be my second favorite stash on this list after Bauer. Now he has had control issues when he's gotten chances to start before, but also strikeout totals that at times have really caught my attention. So look good in the bullpen so far. I hope if that's helped him turn the corner. Then you're going to be pretty happy with him, yeah.
How about Yasmero Petit? So he filled in yesterday for Matt Cain, who was scratched with a cut on his finger. And, you know, he wasn't bad last year as a starter. He was 4-1 with a 3.59 ERA and 7 starts, nearly a strikeout per inning. So far pitching well for the Giants and pitched very well yesterday against the minor league club, the San Diego Padres. So do you think Petit could make his way into the rotation for Vogelsong or Lincecum? More likely Vogelsong.
Yeah, more likely Vogelsong. Yeah, I really do. In fact, I feel fairly sure about it. He's just, yeah, you're right. He's been very good as a starter. I think he'll, given the chance, he'd be more effective than Vogelsong's Vogelsong has been.
I think Vogelsong deserves more time. Two of his last three starts have been really good. Obviously, two-hitter in seven innings last time out Sunday. And in that Sunday start, he said he found a major mechanical flaw that he fixed. And we've seen him be good before, so it might be a step in the right direction as far as that goes. If he's Vogelsong of 2 years ago, there's no way he's losing his job.
Yeah, but if he's Vogelsong of last year, he should lose his job.
Right. Yeah, he's
and quite frankly, Tim Lincecum should lose his job with the way he's been pitching. But they just gave him
$17.5 million a year or something.
So, don't they have a lot of experience with Barry Zito putting a high salary guy in the bullpen? So
sure, not a cult hero though. You know, how about Drew Pomeranz says AJ Griffin needs Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, I like Pomeranz a lot. I like that he's out of Colorado now, where, I mean, before that, he was top-of-the-line pitching prospect. I like what he's done in the bullpen so far. It seems like some of the bad habits he got into by pitching at Coors Field, he's gotten out of. And there's no reason they shouldn't give him a shot to start at some point, except just that they have other options in there. I think the talent is good enough that in a deep league, like AL only, I know in our Dynasty League 24 teams, I'm stashing him there.
Okay.
It's worth a stash.
And Archie Bradley, still worth stashing with the news?
Not in mixed leagues.
No, it's only, you know, could be like a month.
Yeah, but he wasn't pitching well before that. And I think he'll need to pitch really well before they call him up.
So, am I missing anyone? Al, I know you added a few more. We're going to talk about this a little bit more on the video show today.
Yeah, Alex Meyer. Now, supposedly the Twins have some Super 2 concerns with him, but he would be, given how he's pitching in the minors, he'd be a great addition to the rotation. I mean, one of the most roadblock-free rotations in baseball. So there's an opportunity there, and I think that the pressure is going to mount for the Twins to bring him up within the next month or two. Let's see, Brandon Workman we've talked about.
Yes.
I think DuBrant replacement at some point. Now, I'm going very, very deep league with this one, but I think it's just worth a mention that because we don't know for sure that Bauer's going to be called up right now to fill that vacancy. Maybe they want him to just spend a little more time in the minors. You may want to hedge your bets, especially maybe if you've already bid on Bauer, to also make a bid on Josh Tomlin, because he's not going to cost you much, and maybe he comes up and fills that hole in the rotation for a while and pitches decently. So that's another name I'd add.
And I like Tyler Thornburg as somebody. I think there'd have to be an injury in the Brewers' rotation for him to make his way in, but he was great as a starter down the stretch. He's been dominant in the bullpen. But they've had him make enough multi-inning appearances that I feel like they're not just dead set on converting him to relief.
Okay.
And Mr. Braves fan, what about Gavin Floyd? What are they going to do with him?
That's a good question, because his last rehab start was last night, and they already had to move David Hale to the bullpen to make room for Minor. I don't see how they take Harang out, and I would be very upset. Very, very upset if Alex Wood's performance yesterday has them thinking about moving him to the bullpen. Not that it's been brought up. I just don't.
That would be so silly if they did that.
They've at least entertained silly ideas like that before. So I think it's worth mentioning.
Jeez,
right now, I'm expecting we're not going to see Floyd making starts anytime soon.
I'm just looking at Dellin Betances' stats. He has 23 strikeouts and 13 and a third. Pretty impressive. But fantasy irrelevant for now. All right, next category. We'll get to the trades in a bit. But we're going streaking. These guys are red hot. Derek Norris, 10 for 17 on a six-game hitting streak. Last nine games, he's batting .481. No homers, but 7 RBI, 5 doubles, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts, 12% owned. I put in 2 claims with Mesoraco getting hurt on Sunday. I put in 2 claims. I don't know when he got hurt, on like Friday or whatever. But Norris was my second one. Navarro over Norris. Sorry, that was a convoluted thing there. Mm. And I don't know if I'm regretting that or not, because Norris has been really good.
Yeah, Norris, he hadn't started since Saturday, though. They
only had one game, right?
Did they?
Oh, no, they had two. They had two. Okay. They played Monday.
Yeah, and I know they faced a disproportionate numbers of left-handers recently, which has probably contributed to the playing time increase. I'm in a roto league where Russell Martin is one of my two catchers, and I didn't have a DL spot for him because I have like Trumbo and Zimmerman and players like that. Rather than pick up a platoon player like Norris or John Jaso, who should actually get more playing time in the long run, I just stuck with Martin in my starting lineup, even though he's on the DL. It wasn't worth it to me.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good to know. So let's go through this list kind of as a whole. Derek Norris, Eric Ibar, 48% owned, went 4-for-5. And he did not bat leadoff yesterday. That was Howie Kendrick. Nolan Arenado has a 19-game hitting streak. He's a top four third baseman, number two in Roto, number four in points. James Loney, 58% owned, last 14 games. No home runs, but a .382 average, 10 RBI, 9 runs, 5 walks, 4 strikeouts, and 8 doubles. Reminder, though, Loney has not slugged above .441 since 2007. Much more of a doubles guy than a home runs guy. Will Middlebrooks, 4-for-14 with a home run, 2 doubles, 4 RBI, 4 runs scored in 4 games since coming off the DL. He's 75% owned. And Mark Teixeira has 3 hits in his last 5 games. They're all home runs. Two of them were pretty big shots as a lefty. As a righty, he hit a Fenway Park home run over the monster. He's 77% owned. So anybody here, Norris, Ibar, Arenado, Loney, Middlebrooks, Teixeira, you feel like we need to get the message out?
I don't know that we need to get the message out about Arenado because I feel like people are on the bandwagon, but to me, he's the one guy. Okay, I guess add a second. That's probably a little more controversial. Middlebrooks, hard to know what to make of him because we've seen the good and the bad from him. Arenado, I think, certainly should be higher on your third base priority than Middlebrooks, but Middlebrooks is going to be the more, I think, available and more affordable option. So if you need third base help, I think he's worth claim.
And although he's one of the higher owned ones on the list, I would add Teixeira to the mix because I think our main concern coming off a wrist injury was power, and he's clearly shown that. We know now you're not going to get much in the way of the batting average, but the walks are back up to where we're used to seeing them too, at least in a very small sample. And that was another concern I had from him 2 years ago was the drop in walks, and okay, well, he's still a must-start player in head-to-head leagues with the low batting average, but 30 home runs and 80 walks, would he be with less than that? I'm not ruling out the possibility that he gets back to that now. I'm not saying he will, but so far, the way he started the season, he looks like that kind of player again.
Yeah, a few days ago, he said he's still thinking about his wrists, though. So that's just annoying. All right, next category, slump busters with a question mark. Michael Brantley snapped an 0-for-17 skid. He doubled yesterday. Salvador Perez has 7 hits, including 2 doubles and a home run in his last 3 games. Perez was 1-for-29 before that. Edwin Encarnacion, 1-for-5 with a home run yesterday. And Carlos Santana went 2-for-4 with his second home run in as many days. And he had a bunt single. And he started at first base, which I like because I don't want to see him playing third as a Carlos Santana owner. He's already got the eligibility. If you need that, I just let him not have to worry about defense. Play him at positions he's familiar with and let him mash. Anybody you guys want to highlight here? Brantley, Perez, E5, Santana.
E5 may be the one I'm most concerned about at this point and not to the point where I'm downgrading him in the rankings just yet. But given that I had some worries about his wrist going into the season, that he's gotten off to a slow start, the home run is nice to see, but his overall production has been a little disappointing. Santana, I figured he was going to come around. I think this is the beginning of something. Perez has been so consistent as a hitter for batting average that, I think this turnaround was going to happen.
And the following pitchers had their worst start of the year. Jeff Samardzija, 3 runs in 5 2/3, 4 walks, 4 Ks. His ERA is still under 2. Martin Perez entered the game having allowed 6 earned runs all year. He gave up 8 against Oakland in 4 2/3. Alex Wood entered his start against Miami having allowed 6 earned runs all year. He gave up 7 at Miami, who he just dominated last week. Scott Kazmir wasn't bad. 5 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, 4 Ks, 2.11 ERA. And Cole Hamels got roughed up, and he said the horrible weather affected him. He said, would have been a good day to use pine tar, but unfortunately I don't do that. pretty funny quote, actually. Anybody strike you as concerning here with Samardzija, Perez, Wood, Kazmir, Hamels?
Actually, not.
Yeah, not really.
Do you
really
think Martin Perez might just like come right back down to earth? Like, was he overperforming? And he was obviously overperforming a little bit.
Yeah, obviously.
Was he a fluke?
I don't think he was. No, I don't think he was a fluke. I mean, he's not going to throw 8 shutout innings every time he starts like he had, what, 3 in a row? It was – Oakland's lineup is interesting because there's a lot of platoons and a lot of very patient hitters that it's kind of unique in both of those ways. And more than one person – you probably read the recap, Adam. More than one player – said they took a very different approach with him this time. He's used to getting ground balls by pitching down in the zone, really below the strike zone, and they were taking those pitches and forcing him to throw it up more so that they weren't hitting the ground balls they had last time they faced him. I don't know that every team's going to be able to do that same trick on him. You know, it's almost like they got away with something. And that he'll be more prepared for it next time, and that those other teams won't be as prepared for it as Oakland was this time.
That's an interesting thing to keep in mind, though. That's a good call there. All right, grade the trade, part one. We got more coming later. This is from Jeff in Riverside, California. He says, "Dear Maul, Vader, and Sidious." Okay, that's Star Wars.
Those are
Darths.
Darths. Yeah.
Darth Sidious.
Darth Sidious is Emperor Palpatine's Darth name.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how to describe it other than that, I'm sure.
You should have put chocolate on there.
I'm sure there's a more
Darth chocolate. How does Star Wars not have a candy bar called like Darth Chocolate? I mean, everybody would buy that.
Darth Chocolate.
Yeah, because like dark chocolate.
I get it.
You know?
Would it be dark chocolate?
I think it would have to be.
Yeah.
Maybe slightly.
Unless they were
going to
be ironic or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have like the Stormtrooper edition, which would be white. Forget it. 6x6 categories league. I made this trade in the middle of last week with my opponent. I gave up Sonny Gray. I got Masahiro Tanaka. Grade the trade.
I grade that trade A-.
That's going to go B.
But I like Tanaka more than you do.
Gabe in Long Beach, California says, "Hey, Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. 12-team, 5x5 roto, OBP instead of average, total bases instead of home runs." So, giving up D. Gordon and Steve Cishek, getting Shin-Soo Choo.
That is a very good trade that gets a B+.
I'm the one inflating the grades today. I go A.
Yeah, an OBP league is awesome with Choo. And he says, Gabe says, P.S. Adam
That's
is correct.
That's nice of you to say.
What?
That an OBP league is good with me. Oh, you said Choo.
Oh, I love it. P.S. Adam is correct. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups belong at the top of the candy lineup. Yes, they do.
You know what was a good
kind of
sleeper pick that I saw in those results? Crackle.
Yeah, it was on my board. It was on my board. I don't remember when it went, but I was like, is Crackle there? And somebody's like, no, it's off the board. Expletive.
You never see Crackle in the checkout line, though. I mean,
it
Crackle's
always comes
not...
in the bag of four.
Yeah.
Mr. Like Goodbar got
Nestle's Crunch
too.
Is totally like,
I prefer
totally
Crackle.
Pushed Crackle out of the picture.
Which do you like better?
To be honest, I haven't had enough Crackle in my life to say honestly because it's so scarce.
I love Crackle. I'm all about the Crackle. It's so good. What do you like better?
Yeah, I think Crackle.
Okay.
Crunch
didn't even go in the candy draft, right?
It's not that good, so I hope it didn't.
Some people really like Nestle's Crunch, Adam.
Some people really
like
Raisinets, and they'd
take it off the shelves if they didn't.
Michael in Atlanta, 12-team points league. Give up Morse and Loesch. Get Cliff Lee. Woo! That's an A.
It is an A.
Nice work. Agree?
Yeah, sure. Right.
Adam says, "Hello, Lou, Johnny, and Jax." L-I-U, Johnny. No idea who this is.
Yeah, because I only know Lucy Lou, so I don't think there's a Lucy Johnny or a Lucy Jax.
I don't either. 12-team mixed head-to-head categories league. I give Fielder and Pineda. I receive Longoria and Romo. Starting to not believe in Fielder returning to his usual form.
So, and why is that, Adam?
No, not me. That's what.
Oh, okay.
That's what. Sorry. That's what Adam the emailer said.
I stopped reading.
Well, he is Adam. Could be. Yeah. He could have sent this in.
He said, "I give Fielder and Pineda, and I get Longoria and Romo." That seems kind of even. No?
I think it's very even.
Even with Pineda's injury.
Yeah, because it's
you know
a few
what?
Weeks.
Yeah, I actually think the secondary player there, Romo over Pineda, does tip it slightly in the Longoria side's favor. So I give it a C plus.
Yeah.
And while I don't think any of us are down on Fielder like this Adam is. His name's Adam, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This Adam who wrote the email is. If you are down on him, you did a good job of not selling low on him in this deal.
By the way, I knew it, Scott. I knew those were Mortal Kombat characters. I should have said something. I blew that one. All right, Nick from Chicago. I give up Bautista and Greinke. I get Jason Vargas and Miguel Cabrera. So I'll put it better this way. Giving up Bautista and Greinke for Cabrera and Vargas.
I'm actually giving that a C-. It's a trade where getting Miggy is not the winning side because it's such a downgrade from Greinke to Vargas.
I agree with you.
He doesn't say what kind of format it is, does he? Because I think if it's a roto league, it makes a big difference because you don't need as much pitching and Bautista isn't as good with the shaky batting average. But I think I prefer the Cabrera side either way. I'll go C-plus on it because it is a lot to give up for him, but I think it's worth it.
Nick also says, has anyone said before that Michael Hurkum sounds like Steve Janowski from Eastbound and Down?
I haven't heard that. But I think maybe we should do a whole segment of who people think Herc sounds like.
Okay.
Because we're already kind of building a list.
Okay. Jay from Detroit, 12-team, 8x8, 3 outfielder, 2 utility league. I was offered, this is an A+, giving up Harangutang and Colabello for Alfonso Soriano and Jay Bruce.
Yeah.
Nice work, A+.
I want to go double plus for the Harangutang.
Harangutang was
reference.
Very good, yeah. Mike from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. Grade the trade. I received Garrett Cole. I gave up Fernando Rodney.
And you just made a B+ trade.
Yeah, it's always hard to say. Depending
with the closers. Because it can vary so much from format to format how valuable closers are. Because in some leagues, there's just not enough to go around. There's only 30 players who can have that at any one time.
Yep. But I think you could get a closer for Cole if you needed to. I think he's a more valuable
player. A better
player.
One than Rodney.
Yeah, he's a more valuable player to have. So
right.
You get a passing grade. Also, who would you rather have, Henry Mejia or Trevor Bauer?
Bauer.
I agree.
Here is Scott Dodds in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dear Slimer, Gozer, and Zuhl. I'm in a 14-team dynasty league. 100% gatekeeper. Yeah, you like that? 100% keeper. 2 utility spots, 40 innings pitch minimum. George Springer, Matt Cain, and Gio Gonzalez for Prince Fielder, Brett Gardner, and CeCe Sabathia. So Springer, Cain, and Gio for Fielder, Gardner, and Sabathia. Which side would you rather be on? Seems pretty easy to me.
Hang on, I got to look at the terms again. Cain, yeah. Well, I think Fielder's the best player, but I go the other side, Springer, Cain, Gio, especially the keeper considerations with Springer.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. Are we grading?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's keeper.
Reason why I didn't grade is I have no idea which side he's getting. I think he's getting the Fielder side, which is bad.
Oh,
good point. All right,
true.
So I'll take my B- and flip it over to a D+.
On the surface, that sounded harsh to me, but it's worse than a C- trade, which is one step below even. So,
all right, let's fly through the rest here so we can get to more trades. 3 up. Howie Kendrick, 1-for-2 with a double. He batted leadoff for the Angels. He is a top 9 first second baseman entering yesterday. Don't know what the updated stats are, but he's hitting well. He's 82% owned. Jared Saltalamacchia has hit 5 home runs. Honestly, I was quite concerned about the power he'd be able to show with the move to Marlins Park, but he is actually batting .284, which is great for him. 15 walks, 26 strikeouts, 5 home runs for Saltalamacchia. And Mike Zunino went 4-for-4 with 4 singles, an RBI, and a run scored. He's batting .274 despite a 1 walk, 22 strikeout stat line there. Kendrick, Saltalamacchia, Zanino, anybody you guys want to talk about here?
I want to talk about Saltalamacchia because he has had such a strange career. Like, I almost want to reserve judgment on him. My initial reaction to this performance is obviously skepticism because he's never been this good. And really, the strangest thing he's doing, more than the home runs or anything else, is how much he's walking. Because right now, he's on pace for 93 walks when he set a career high last year with 43. But he's had years where he's shown power, years where he hasn't, years where he's hit for average, years where he hasn't. Ultimately, I have a hard time seeing him be a top 12 catcher. But this is an interesting turn from a guy who's taken many turns in the past.
I think the batting average is going to take a turn for the worse.
But the RBI has to get better.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's batting 100 with runners in scoring position. So it's a weird start in so many ways for Saltalamacchia, which is why, despite 5 home runs, 284 average, he's not that high in the catcher rankings because he only has 8 RBI with 5 home runs. So he'll probably hit better with runners in scoring position, hit worse overall.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's good to see that he's slugging over 600 at home. 2 home runs and 5 doubles.
Yeah. That is good to see.
All right, so 46%.
I'm with you. That was the thing I was most worried about with him. So
still, he's. I just can't imagine owning him in a one catcher league.
No, like
he's
no,
owned
no.
in. He should be owned in every 2 catcher league, and not really owned in one catcher leagues unless you're, you know, desperate. You're the Ramos owner who picked up Mesoraco.
And I still kind of feel like I'd pervert Zunino. Actually,
yeah. How about you, Al?
I think it's weird what Salty's done, but I like Zunino's upside more, and he's not off to a bad start. Clearly.
Yeah, no, I prefer in single-season leagues. I'd still prefer Salty. Zunino's performing a lot better than I thought, but that strikeout-to-walk ratio is pretty concerning.
Elvis Andrews is three down, along with Anthony Rizzo and Xander Bogaerts. Andrews is – it looks like he's basically Elvis Andrews just batting 233 instead of, like, 275, so I don't know if you guys are worried about him. Anthony Rizzo, 3 for his last 28. 5 walks, 8 Ks, and he experienced back spasms a little over a week ago, so I don't know if it's coinciding with this. Well, it's coinciding. I don't know if it's, what's the word you always use, Al?
Caused.
Causal?
Yeah, well, I was going to say correlated, but that's the same thing. Yeah. It's coinciding, so.
Whatever.
Whatever word Al uses.
And Xander Bogaerts has been fine. He's just not really hitting for any power. His on-base percentage is higher than his slugging percentage. So, any red flags here for Andrews, Rizzo, or Bogaerts?
Yeah, I would say none for Andrews. I'll agree with what you said about that the batting average will even out. But the Rizzo thing concerns me because maybe there is causation. Was that the
That's
term you're
probably
for?
What it was. There it is.
You know, between the back problems and the slump.
Yeah.
So, that is a little concerning. Yeah, Bogaerts, I think he'll,
you think
he'll,
Bogaerts
he'll get better
is
gonna, with time.
Like, Herc, a couple weeks ago, had him as a buy low. You guys think he'll start hitting homers or doubles or something?
I think it's more likely he will than he won't, but we don't – what he's 21, right? We don't know at what point the power is going to come for him. We said the same thing for Manny Machado in the beginning, and he gradually – took a step forward to becoming more of a doubles guy and at least a dozen home runs a season. And maybe that's possible over for Bogaerts as he gets a little more experience. I wouldn't expect him to be a 25 homer guy this year, though, or anything like that.
I don't think I've started him once in the Roto League I own him in, but I would never drop him. And if you were out there in a league that you start a middle infielder, I think all of us would pick him up, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, rotation time. Corey Kluber. Yeah, there you go.
What a
Al,
jerk.
You weren't here, but on Friday we talked about it. This dude is just inconsistent.
Can't argue with that.
Complete game shutout with 11 Ks last week and 4 2/3, 3 earned runs last night. Jose Quintana, quality start, struck out 10, got an ERA of 4. But he's been up and down. I don't know if you guys want to add anything to Sabathia. John Lackey, 2 terrible starts in the middle of the month, but his other 4 have been very good. And Kyle Loesch, I bring him up because he's striking out a batter per inning, And since 2007, he has never struck out more than 6.1 batters per nine.
And I don't suspect he will this year either.
So. But you remember how you pointed out on the video show, Scott, that Matt Wieters has had 1 month like this in his career.
Yes.
Kyle Loesch, I looked like the last 4 or 5 years, he's had 1 month like this. It was September of like 2011 maybe. And one other month that was close in strikeout rate. So I just thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah, I mean, there is a difference in the fact that Wieters is still young enough that I feel like he could improve, and he's never lived up to the expectations that were originally heaped on him. So if his potential is up here, what he's actually achieved is a couple notches below that, and so maybe there's some room for him to make up those notches. I don't think that's true for Loesch at all.
Right.
I think he's exceeded expectations for the most part, at least in recent years.
All right, then. Kluber, Quintana, Sabathia, Lackey, anything here?
I just think that was I won't disagree with what you said about Kluber being inconsistent, but I think this was a very unusual start for Kluber in that he just really did not have very good command.
That's been he's been inconsistent as far as that goes, too. His three bad starts, he's given up three walks or more. No walks in the other three starts. So, overall, the walk rate looks good as it was last year. But if he's inconsistent, I think that must be something to do with it. And it's going to make him hard to know when to start him in head-to-head leagues, in any leagues shallow enough that you have a pitching staff where he's your sixth or seventh pitcher. I don't know that outside of the two start weeks it's worth it.
And that's also how I feel about Jason Vargas, who I'm maybe ready to drop. Just because,
it's one bad start.
No, but not really. His whip is just not good. And the strikeouts are so low.
Strikeouts are low.
Points leagues, I like him.
Okay.
But in Roto?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kept him on board for
this two-start week, but I feel like I have to apologize for overhyping him. I saw the matchups, and I think, just because he gives you innings and has a chance to get wins, he's worth it in points leagues. But in Roto, it's like, the whip and the strikeouts just hurt you too much. Even though he struck out 5 and 6 1/3, which is fine here. He's 10 hits.
He's still ownable in Roto.
Yeah.
He was around that 75 range I mentioned for Bauer. And a little lower in Roto than head-to-head because of lack of strikeouts, and innings are big strength for him. And
give me your
so
thoughts
on
Alfredo Simon. Another good start. He's really faced pretty lousy competition this year. But there is a lot of that. I mean, two of those are division foes, so.
Yeah,
and I still think of him as more of a two-start guy. In fact, there's no way I could see starting him as a one-start guy. But, sort of like Loesch or Vargas, that you'll need the two starts to get the strikeouts, but the other stats most weeks would be just fine.
In the leagues where you can use him as a SPARP.
Must start?
Must own. Not must start, but must own.
Would you drop him for Bauer? Alfredo Simon?
In those leagues, yeah, I think I would. So that would mean any league. Yeah, I would.
Al?
Yeah.
Bullpen. Joe Smith is 58% owned. He got a second save in as many nights for the Angels. Addison Reed gave up a run in the ninth, took the loss. Non-save situation. He's got a 4.15 ERA and an earned run allowed in four of his last six. Anyone worried about Addison Reed?
Well, I know Al was down on him from the beginning, so
yeah,
probably status quo for you.
Right.
I am a little worried, and I don't think J.J. Putz has been so good that they're on the verge of making a change or anything. But I do think maybe I did put a little too much faith in him, and in a couple leagues, actually, my combo is both him and Joaquin Soria. I don't know how that happened, but Soria has clearly passed him as my most reliable reliever.
Sergio Santos has given up 7 earned runs in his last 6 outings, so that's good news if you're stashing Casey Jansen. Josh Fields took the loss for Houston. They stink. Pedro Strop gave up 3 hits in a scoreless inning. So he didn't give up a run, but he gave up 3 hits. So
scoreless 8th inning.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
In a loss, I think.
Yeah, they lost.
So not how a team uses its closer.
Injuries news and notes part 2. Kevin Kuzmanoff has numbness in his leg. He may need surgery. Taylor Jordan sent down to the minors, so Roark will stay. Jason Mott will begin a rehab assignment this weekend. but I don't think you have to worry about Rosenthal. Tyler Chatwood left last night's start with elbow tightness. For now, he's day-to-day. Michael Kadire could be activated Saturday, but Kadire said there's no timetable for his return. He has a hamstring injury. Seth Smith's been out with a groin strain. He could be back today. And Yanherva Solarte returned to the lineup at third base. He hit his ninth double, and he's batting. I think he might become a platoon player because he's batting just .237 as a righty. I could see him sitting against lefties. But I'm starting to believe, you know, I think he's a solid doubles guy. I could see that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to homer much, but Yolish Chacin nearing a return for Colorado. Grade the trade, part deux. Ham is trading Ben Zobrist and Yovadi Gallardo for David Price and Tyson Ross. Zobrist and Gallardo getting Price and Ross.
That, yeah, I like it.
B minus.
Yeah, I was going there too.
Cameron Veazey. Trade Verlander and Jacoby Ellsbury. Get Jared Weaver and Michael Trout.
Ah, that's
B plus.
I don't feel like you gave up too much for Trout at all. So
great
you said
trade.
B plus. I go, yeah, B plus sounds good.
Timothy King, 12-team head-to-head league. Stanton and Utley for Gomez and Bumgarner. OBP is added as an extra offensive category. So it's a categories league,
clearly.
Obviously. Yeah, he said head-to-head.
Right,
whatever.
No.
Stanton and Utley or Gomez and Bumgarner. It's got to be Gomi, right?
Oh.
This is a landslide.
It is?
Now that you know it's a categories league.
Well,
what am I missing
OBP
here?
OBP added as a category.
Does that hurt Gomez?
Yes.
I think it does, yeah.
Yeah.
Still.
And
you get steals and you go from Utley to Bumgarner. Come on now.
Utley's good at OBP.
Oh.
It's not a landslide. The Gomez-Bumgarner side, I do think, wins, but I will call it a B-.
I was going to call it C-. I'll take Stanton Utley.
Whoa. Al, you're going to have two guys in the DL.
Utley do needs to they do need to stay healthy for that to pay off. Utley especially I worry about as far as that goes.
B. Frank says, I trade Bonifacio and Hunter Pence. I get David Wright in a 12-team roto league.
Trey Bonifacio and Pence get right, 12-team roto. I am going to say that's a good deal, a B deal.
B minus for me.
Jeremy Werner, Prado for Billy Butler. I have Bonifacio for versatility. I need power.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're getting power.
Butler. Yeah. I see both as kind of 15 homer guys,
right.
And
Prado's going to do it at a position where it counts a lot more.
Yeah,
Butler's not really doing it at a position.
It's
right.
A G. It's that bad.
Oh,
it's worse
it's
than
not
an
that
F.
Bad. It's,
it's
a D.
D.
Yeah,
okay, it's a D. James says, "I give up Billy Hamilton. I get Jason Hayward in a points league."
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's a B.
Yep.
Also,
B. Yep. B. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
A few more here to finish the show. I dropped my papers. Hang on.
I haven't gotten one mixed up yet. I think that's worth. Just want to point that out.
Grade the trading. Scott gets an A. Daniel gives up Howie Kendrick and Chris Colabello. He gets Alan Craig.
That's a minus.
Yeah, I was thinking A minus too. We're on the same page now.
Jason Steffens.
Mind meld.
Jose Fernandez and Elvis Andrews. For Hanley Ramirez, Josh Beckett, and Anthony Rendon. Ooh. Jose Fernandez and Elvis Andrews for Hanley, Beckett, and Rendon.
I'm going C minus here. I want to keep Jose Fernandez.
You know, I turned down a trade in a league where pitching, and especially strikeout pitching, is a little inflated, a little overpowered. But I turned down Fernandez for me giving up Fernandez for Hanley and Samardzija. I turned it down. It's very unlike me. So I think I also have to turn this deal down and agree with Al, C minus.
Ridge Odell's ego. I traded Jose Abreu for Jose Bautista.
Yeah, I like the Jose. He got better.
Me too. So not leaps and bounds better. I'll say B minus.
Still in sync here.
Yeah. Right.
How about A-Rod 2? I'm guessing A-Rod was taken on Twitter. I give Tim Hudson, Jonathan Papelbon, and Angel Pagan. Hudson, Papelbon, and Pagan, I get Steven Strasburg.
I like it.
It's an A.
A, yeah.
Chris Bunn gave up Braun and Masterson. Got Desmond Jennings and Jose Fernandez.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this one's tough.
This is tough. This is... I don't know that I like a side more. I'm going to straddle the fence with a C.
Yeah, it's close.
Which is...
All right.
Downgrading Braun slightly, upgrading Fernandez.
Kind of sort of breaking the streak here.
Oh,
I'm going C+.
I like Fernandez that much.
Yep.
Or you're scared of Braun that much.
A little of both.
Okay.
And G. Padilla says, 12-team Roto League, I give Yadier Molina, I get Jason Hayward.
Oh.
I think that's like another...
It's another C for me, actually.
Yeah.
Might depend on need.
I agree with that.
I clearly preferred Hayward on draft day, but things have changed enough.
Yaddy, yaddy, yaddy.
Let's see.
All right, guys, we're done. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Make sure you watch the video show for more awesome fun and your phone calls and all that. See ya.